Good morning. Well, everybody's gotten their story in, so I'll get one too. I was somewhere with Lillian, and somebody was reminiscing about the good old days. And she rolled her eyes and gave one of her famous scowls. She said, "You know, in the good old days, we had to trudge through the snow when it was 30 below to get out to the outhouse. And the only paper there was an old Sears and Roebuck catalog." Don't talk to me about the good old days. The service has been very, very memorable. Doug and Leroy and Sue, thank you so much for opening your arms, your hearts to have us here today. This is a church that Lillian loved. She helped to start this church. To hear about the impact that she made on the lives of family members. To hear some of the great and comforting truths of the Christian faith. This has certainly been an encouraging time for our family. We love each other. We love being together. We appreciate being here with you all. So many that are here from the church. The fruits of living here in this community since 1949. I met a man that Ed said, "I cut his hair for 50 years. I've been at somewhat of a loss of what to talk about, and I know this is a rarity for preachers. There have been certainly some comforting passages that we have read and prayed through over the last few weeks. Michelle mentioned the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, and he leads me for his sake," mind you, not for our own. "But he leads us either beside the still waters, or he leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. But eventually he leads us up to and through that great divide so that we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 46, which someone shared with me when my own father died 40 years ago, and it's been cascading through my soul ever since. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." So we should be still and know that he is God. This is exactly what we need to hear when we're faced with a great loss. But I wanted what I spoke about to be very personal for Lillian. She's had an enormous influence on the life of my wife, as you heard. And certainly on mine as well. She welcomed me as a son even before she ever met me. She served in her churches and families tirelessly for decades. In a word, she was a faithful woman. Faithful to her husband for over 71 years. Faithful to her family. When I think of Lillian, I think there, by the grace of God, was a faithful woman. Now, faithfulness is a supremely important attribute, and it becomes a central part of why we honor Lillian today. And even as we think of our own lives moving forward from this moment. A Christian lives basically for one longing and aspiration. And that is, when this life is past, when our trophies at last we have laid down, as the hymn writer says, when we are face to face with the great God of the universe, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Life Giver, the Judge, we would hear the words of Matthew 25:21 when he says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Master. That God in his omniscience would review our lives in an instant and pronounced, "You have done well. You have been faithful." That's what I long to hear. I think that's what every true Christian longs to hear. What does it mean to be faithful? I think if we can answer this question, we can both honor the one we have gathered here to honor and also leave from this place focused more on what God's desire for our lives is. First, and quite simply, to be faithful, one must have faith. Faith is the root word for faithful, both in the English and in the Greek. To be faithful is to be full of faith. In the Scriptures, we are called to put our faith in God and specifically in the work of Jesus, the Son of God, who was sent to redeem us, who came to pay with His own life the penalty for our sins, and to open that narrow gate that leads to eternal life. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus declared in John 11. That's the verse that's printed in your program. Whoever believes in me, has faith in me, will live even if he dies. And then he asked the woman he was speaking to, do you believe this? And she answered, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. That is a faith response. If you ask Lillian, do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? She would have said, maybe after scowling at you, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus asked a direct question, so I'll put it to you directly. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? That Jesus alone in all of history is the one who was resurrected from the dead? That He is the one that is the giver of eternal life? Do you believe that? The person who is faithful, the person who hears, well done, my good and faithful servant, is the one who has put their faith fully in Jesus. Second, faithfulness is evidence of good stewardship. 1 Corinthians 4 says that it is required of a steward that they be found faithful. A steward was like a manager. They were entrusted with something that did not belong to them. In Matthew 25, the words, well done, good and faithful servant, are directed towards people who had been given talents by their master. A talent was a sum of money, and so the issue here was investment. One servant had received 5 talents, and he invested them wisely and made 5 more. The one who had received 2 talents received 2 more. In each case, the master's response was the same. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, the talents differed. They were different amounts. And our talents differ. The key then and now is, are we investing what God has given us in a wise and faithful way? Are we being good stewards of what God has entrusted to us? We honor Lillian today because she was such a good steward of the things God entrusted to her, as you have been hearing all morning. God gave her a man to love and support, and this she did faithfully, wholeheartedly for over 70 years. He worked outside of the home and she worked diligently and meticulously. Oh boy, she was meticulous to maintain their home. I remember after Michelle and I had been married for about a year and I held up one of Lillian's saucepans in the kitchen. And I said, you know, when I compare our saucepans to this saucepan, it's more like we've been married 40 years and she's been married for 1. Typically, within 60 seconds of Ed arriving home from the barbershop, Lillian would have a hot, skillfully prepared meal from scratch on the table. I've calculated she must have done this more than 22,000 times. God gave her children, eventually grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and she devoted herself to them in a singular way when they were young and even when they were adults. God gave her a beautiful voice and she used it to sing to His glory. She skillfully managed her superior abilities to cook and she hosted missionaries. She ran church dinners. She organized summer camp kitchens. And on every occasion and in every venue, people were blessed and edified. Third, hearing the Lord's commendation as a faithful servant involves hope. The Lord's promise to the servants in Matthew 25 is to enter into the joy of your master. Enter into the joy of your master. Blessed assurance, says the famous hymn, Jesus is mine, oh what a foretaste of glory divine. Our life in this world can be hard and full of troubles, and Lillian knew this as much as anybody. She suffered from a great deal of back pain for years, but it did not diminish her resolve to serve and minister to her family. The final year of her life, as has been said, was full of physical setbacks, and she would repeatedly say that she just wanted to go home. Why? Because she knew that her earthly life was not the final chapter. She was living in hope of the resurrection. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this momentary light affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. She was living in hope of the resurrection. Friends, are you fearful that one day you too will be the central figure in a service like this one? Or are you living in hope that Jesus not only died to forgive sins, but that he rose triumphant from the grave and now holds the keys, holds the authority over hell and death, the two things that we tend to fear in this world the most? Friends and beloved family members, who are the ones that hear the crucial commendation from the Lord, well done, good and faithful servant? It is those like our sister, mother, grandmother, friend, who have put their faith in Christ, who see their life as a stewardship, multiplying the gifts and talents God gives them in selfless service. And it's those who lift their eyes from the decay they see all around them, and fix their hope on God, longing to be with Him. These are the people who enter into the joy of their Master. May each of us one day experience the thrill, the relief, the joy of hearing such words pronounced over us. Let's pray. Truly, Lord, in our hearts, if we know You, know that we won't live here forever. We know that you see all, know all, have all power. And Lord, for You to review our lives and to say those words, well done, good and faithful servant, is just such an aspiration. It's what we long to hear, Father. Please help us to be inspired by the life of one who lives so faithfully. Please help us, Lord, in our weakness through Your Spirit that dwells in us, to put our faith in You, to live life as stewards, and to keep our eyes on the clouds, Lord, knowing that our true life is with You in glory. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.